Amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. Very important passage of scripture, especially as we get closer to election day. Make the master proud of you. In the Message Bible, starting at verse 13, 1 Peter 2. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not by breaking the rules. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. Amen? Respect. Tell everyone I'm going to respect the government. In 1 Peter 2, verse 9, 10, in the Passion Translation, just to give a little quick background, God told us who we are. He said, but you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. For at one time you were not God's people, but now you are. At one time you knew nothing of God's mercy because you hadn't received it yet, but now you're drenched in it. You're drenched in it. In Romans 8, 28, such a powerful passage of scripture, it says, and we know, in the Amplified Bible, and we know with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose. So because you are the called ones, God will cause everything concerning you to work together for your good. And it doesn't matter if they want to or not. He said he will cause them. Other translations say he will make them. He will make all things work together for your good because you're called. But we do have a responsibility in 2 Timothy 2:4 in the Passion Translation lets us know that responsibility. It says for every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of this world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. So that means if you're distracted, you cannot fully satisfy. That means you cannot do everything you are supposed to do to satisfy the call that God placed on your life. And one question is, and we hadn't really talked a lot about it, is how do you do that? How do you know that you're God's chosen? I mean, we read it, but how do you know that? How do you know he'll work all things together for your good? I mean, there's some terrible stuff out there waiting for you. So how do you know? How do you divorce yourself from distractions? Because distractions are all around you. How can you divorce yourself, specifically when there's stuff going on that's just being mashed in your face? You stick with the principles. That's what you do. You stick with the principles that God laid down. You stick with the fundamentals. And I'm just going to share just a couple of them because they're in line with what God wants me to say tonight. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17 in the Amplified Bible, Amplified Classic. Every scripture, say every scripture, is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof, that means correction, and conviction of sins, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness. And you can say why. In holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose and action, and here's the why, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. In short, the Bible is saying every scripture in the Bible is profitable to get you in a position where you fill out the calling that God placed on your life, regardless of what you have to face. And we have to know that. No matter what comes, no matter how it comes, or how many times it comes, we have been completely and proficiently well-fitted and thoroughly equipped to do the work God called us to do. And we need to learn how to put a period there instead of some other punctuation. In Luke 4, verses 3 and 4 in the Amplified Bible, this is when after Jesus was fasted for 40 days, he was in the desert, he was being tempted by the devil. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, order the stone to turn into a loaf of bread." That would be a good temptation to me because I've been on a special diet lately and I could deal with a loaf of bread right now. Okay. But I'm not turning a stone into it. Jesus replied to him, "It is written," listen to this carefully because I heard it differently today, "man shall not live and be sustained by or on bread alone, but by every word and expression of God." Listen to it in the Passion Translation. Jesus replied, "I will not, for it is written in the scriptures, life does not come only from eating bread, but from God. Life flows from every revelation from his mouth." Everything that God says to me concerning me causes life for me, improves my life, equips me for life, and most importantly, equips me to do the things that he's called me to do. And it reminded me of Romans 10:17 because it says it flows from every revelation from his mouth. So that means I have to hear the revelations that come from his mouth. And Romans 10:17 tells me faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if I am listening to the revelation God is speaking to me about me, faith in what he says about me is going to come, no matter what. And one thing that I'm finding out, we need to develop faith in what God said to us about us. There wasn't a single word for Jesus that Jesus could utter to Satan to make him stop. He needed every word that God had ever spoken about him to deliver him. And even with that, and this is one of the things believers don't understand, even with all of that, Jesus had to speak to the devil more than once, more than twice, before the devil finally gave up and let him go and left him alone. And we need to understand that. Jesus had to resist the devil. Just because Jesus said the first time, "It is written," the devil didn't pack up and get the stepping. He was like, that's what you say now. But he kept coming. But it didn't matter how many times he came, Jesus knew who he was. He knew what had been spoken about him by God. And he had faith in that what God said is what's going to work. It was no different than Gethsemane. Jesus was feeling all of that heaviness, all of that sorrow. He went away and prayed, got up, and that sorrow, that heaviness was still there. He had to pray three times. And then it lifted. And in James 4:7, this is what Jesus had to do in the desert in Gethsemane, and this is what we have to do. It says in James 4:7, the Passion Translation, "So then surrender to God, stand up to the devil, and resist him, and he will turn and run away from you. And the first part of that scripture, folks, I think we need to grab hold of. It says, stand up to the devil and resist him. That doesn't mean hide and say things where he can't see you. That means you get in his face and let him know he's got no authority here. And you know who you are. You stand up to him. He's going to come out with things to try and get you to move, and you're standing there. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to continue doing what my father told me to do. That's what we have to do. Now, all of this is good, and all of this is absolutely true, and it's all available to every believer, regardless of their spiritual age, their position, or their rank. The exact moment that we became new creatures in Christ, all of that was available to us. But there's something that we need. Something that we need that brings it all together. In Hebrews 10:38, King James Version, very simple. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, faith is needed to activate these principles. Faith pulls everything that God has revealed from the unseen into the realm of the seen. And faith has to be absolute. That's why Mark 11:23 says, but verily I say unto you, that whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, because of that, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So that's letting us know that if we're going to live our lives the way God designed, fulfilling the call God placed on them, we must have activated our faith. We have to believe. We've heard the word. Faith is there. We have to activate it. We have to use it. We have to get better at understanding what we can accomplish with our faith if we would just use it. Every scripture is God-breathed, given by inspiration and profitable, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not be sustained by bread alone, but by every word and expression. When you surrender to God and stand up to the devil and resist him, he will turn and run away from you. We have to believe those truths and more, because we need to know that we're chosen. We're God's chosen. We need to know that. We need to know that he will work all things together for our good, regardless of what those things are. We need to know how to deal with that terrible stuff that's out there waiting for us. We need to know, how do you divorce yourself from the distractions? You have things that are being shoved in your face every day. How do you deal with them? We have to get to the place where we understand the very, very simple truth that if God speaks a word, it will happen. What God speaks will happen. Look at Isaiah 55. I was so happy when they put this in the Passion Translation. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. As the snow and the rain that fall from heaven and do not return until they have accomplished their purpose, soaking the earth, causing it to sprout with new life, providing seed to sow and bread to eat, those are all the things, you know, that the rains cause. So also will be the word that I speak. It does not return to me unfulfilled. My word performs my purpose. Lord, that's a good saying. God's word performs his purpose and fulfills the mission I set it out to accomplish. So we need to understand that God's word transcends everything and anything. It will absolutely do everything God spoke it out to do, regardless of what the circumstance looks like, sounds like, or feels like. God's word just doesn't care what the circumstance says, doesn't care what the circumstance believes. All God's word is concerned about doing is fulfilling its purpose, period. And we need to know what God said and understand that it applies to every situation and every circumstance. And most importantly, we need to know what God said concerning us. We need to understand what God said about us. So when anything comes up, when we're faced with anything contrary, our first thought needs to be, what had God already said concerning me? What did he say? Too many times we get stuck because we're looking for an answer. We're looking for a new word. What about the words you were already given? Have you done the things that God has already said? No, you haven't. No, I haven't. So I need to get working on that and be about that. Because if God told me to do it, he's not going to say, well, since it's taking you so long, you can forget it. No, he's going to hold us accountable. His word is going to keep working on us. And we have to understand that the word that God spoke to you, the word that God spoke to me, that personal word that God spoke to us is enough to get us through any circumstance if we would just stick to it, if we would just rely on it, if we would just hold on to it. See, God's going to tell you some things, but he doesn't always tell you everything. And we're going to see that one account of that in a little bit. Because first of all, if he told you everything, you wouldn't need faith. He tells you what you need to know, and he expects us to lean on faith to get through it. How do I know that? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, shows us what our universal weapon is. King James Version, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we walk by faith and we don't care. We absolutely don't care what it looks like. If God said it, that's what we're walking in. If a circumstance doesn't like it, one of Pastor Sarah's favorite sayings, toughy the mouse on you. Because we're going with what God said. We walk by faith and not by sight. Faith in what? Faith on what God has already said concerning us. See, we don't walk by, well, I know we'd like to, but we don't walk by the faith in what we think God is going to say next. We walk by faith concerning those things that God has already said. That's what we walk by. What he's already told us, what he's already shown us. You don't need a new word. You do not need a new word from God. The word you already have is enough if you just start using it. Yet we have to remember, that's all we need to do. We need to remember what God has already said to us. Jesus told us in John 6, verse 63. I'm going to share it in the King James, and I'm going to share it in the Amplified because the Amplified puts it in a different perspective. But the King James says, it's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And here's the important part. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now the Amplified says, the Amplified Classic says, it's the spirit who gives life. He is the life giver. The flesh conveys no benefit whatsoever. There's no profit in it. The words, truth, that I have been speaking to you are spirit and life. So this is telling us the words that God has been speaking to us already, we need to grab hold of those words and start operating in those words, because those words are spirit and life to us. We're busy running around looking for a new word, and God's told us the words I've already spoken to you are spirit in their life. I was talking with someone today, and I heard myself make a statement. And when that happens to me, I call it an HGR, a Holy Ghost revelation, because I wasn't thinking about it. We were having a conversation, and it just came out. And as soon as it came out, we both stopped and we said, we need to write this down. Listen to this. You can't believe based on what God spoke to me. You believe based on what God has spoken to you. See, too many people trying to get by on words spoken to other folks. What did God speak to you? Because Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you. He didn't say the words that I speak to your grandmother, the words I spoke to your best friend. He said, the words that I've spoken to you, those words are spirit and those words are life. So your faith is in what God says to you about you. We need to understand that. That's the same as the words I've been speaking to you are spirit and life. Your faith has to be based on what God said to you about you. And as I said earlier also, regardless of what it looks like, sounds like, or feels like, you need to know and understand this is what God said concerning me, and this is what I'm going with. And I don't care who likes it or doesn't like it. I don't care if the circumstance throws a fit. This is what my Father has said to me, and that's what I'm going to do. Period. Period. Let me show you an example about that. This popped up in my spirit today. Acts 27, verses 21 to 26. If you want to know what was going on here, start reading it, verse 1. But in verse 21, it says, after a long absence or abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. Because they of the rough seas and the bad weather, the ship lost a lot of its cargo. He said in verse 22, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer. For there, now listen to the things that he said. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Now, was Paul among them? Yes, he was. You remember that saying, there shall be no loss of life. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Listen to what he said. Thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God has given all these men that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul received the word from God about him. And he told the people, I believe that it will be as it was told me. He said, how be it or however, we must be cast upon a certain island. So God said to Paul, the first thing he said to him, fear not. That wasn't just for the moment. That meant, whatever you have to face now, Paul, fear not. He said, no one is going to lose their life. No matter what happens, nobody's going to die. The ship is going to be destroyed. And he told Paul, you must stand before Caesar. So no matter what was going to come down the pike, Paul was still going to have, the Spirit didn't say you're going to be held up for Caesar to see. The Spirit didn't say you're going to be carried before Caesar. He said, you must stand before Caesar. And he said, you're going to be cast on the island. And if you read the rest of that chapter, you'll find out everything that happened. They were shipwrecked. No one lost their life. They were in a storm. Even people that couldn't swim jumped into a raging sea and made it safely to shore. And they were cast on an island. They were cast on an island. In Acts 28, verses 1 to 6, it said, when they escaped, it means when they made it from the sea, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people, now think about this. Barbarians were known to be rude, crude, and vicious. If you want one of them, they took you out. But it says the barbarous people showed no little kindness. That means they just received them and took care of them, opened themselves up to them. They kindled a fire and received every one of us because of the present rain and because of the cold. Verse 3, and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came out a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. Now, just think about this. God gave Paul what they call news before it happens. He told Paul there was going to be a shipwreck. He told Paul, you have to stand. He said, you must stand before Caesar, but you're going to be cast on an island. How come God spoke in such great detail and he never told Paul, but and you're going to be bitten by a snake? The snake, as we say today, the snake just came out of left field. And when that happens to us, the minute we start wondering, God, why did this happen? You didn't tell me. Was I not supposed to be? We start thinking we missed it. We start thinking something had to happen because God didn't tell me. God speaks to me. Yes, he does, but he does not tell you every single little detail of your life. He tells you what you need. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So he's going to speak the words that you need so you can have life. So obviously, he had already spoken life words to Paul. What did he say to Paul? He said, you must stand. Well, first thing he said to him was, fear not. So Paul knew no matter what comes, I'm not jumping over into fear. And he told Paul, you must stand before Caesar. Paul hadn't stood before Caesar. So whatever happened to him really didn't matter because it wasn't going to stop Paul from standing before Caesar. Now listen to this. I read Pastor Renner's commentary about this. So when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. That word viper, as some of you probably know, it refers to a highly venomous snake. Vipers usually, as a rule, their characteristic is they don't just bite and release. They bite and hang on and pump venom into your body. And then they let go. That's what they do. That, and it says that the snake fastened his hand, that fastened onto Paul's hand. Well, the word fastened is a Greek word that means to tightly fasten. And this snake deeply bit into Paul. But not only did it bite him, it injected venom into his hand. And that word for fastened also means introduce poison into the body. So that viper sunk his fangs into Paul's flesh and introduced poison into Paul's body. That's why when the barbarians saw it, they knew, they've had experience with vipers, and they knew if you get bitten by a viper, you're dead. Your body's going to swell up. You're going to pass out. You're toast. That's it. There is no more. There is nothing else. But Acts 28 says, he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Yes, he knew the snake bit him. He didn't feel the pain from the bite, and he didn't feel any effects of the venom. He just shook it off. And that term, when it talks about to shake it off, it's a compound word that means off and away. So Paul didn't just, he had to keep shaking his hand until he got this viper to just let loose and fly off his hand. That's what he had to do. It gives that picture of shaking the hand back and forth until finally that viper is released and it fell into the fire. See, we get too excited. Actually, a better word is we get too upset when the unexpected shows up. And we freak out because we don't know what to do. And we start complaining to God. We start begging to God. We start pleading with God. Deliver me. Get me out of this. He already did. What words has he already spoken to you? And have you done them? Have you fulfilled the calling on your life? No, that thing's not taking you out. Yes, you may have to go through it. Paul had the viper on his hand. And no, it didn't. The first time he didn't just flick his hand and it went off. He had to violently shake his hand to get this thing off. So sometimes you're going to have to get spiritually violent to get that thing off your back, to get that blockage from in front of you. Whatever it is that's trying to stop you from fulfilling the call that God placed on your life, you may have to get violent with it. And you're going to have to remember, what has God already told you? He didn't tell Paul you're going to be bitten, but he told Paul you must stand before Caesar. So what did Paul have to think about? I am not yet standing before Caesar. So nothing is taking me out because I haven't fulfilled what God said I must do. It's that simple. How can he stand before Caesar if he's dead? We have to remember, folks, 2 Timothy says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by his inspiration, and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline and obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. Every thought should be centered around, what am I supposed to be doing? Every action is centered around, what am I doing? Every purpose, the reason I do things, it's because it's fulfilling the calling on my life. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted and thoroughly equipped for every good work. I got to insert something here. It says, so that the man of God may. It didn't say the man of God will, because whether the difference between may and will in your life is whether or not you're going to believe the words that were spoken concerning you. If you believe the words, you will. If you don't believe them, you won't. So that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have to understand that we don't just live by bread alone. We don't just live on stuff and things. We live by every word or expression that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we have to stop being moved by the things we don't expect or those circumstances that just show up. Folks say to me, it showed up out of nowhere. And my response is, would you feel better if you knew where it came from? And the answer is no. I don't understand why this happened. Would you feel better if you knew why it happened? You're going to have to deal with it whether you know why it happened or why or you don't. All you need to know, what has God already said about me? And has it been fulfilled? No, it has not. Then this thing is not taking me out. It's not taking me out. And we have to understand the words that Jesus speaks to us, their spirit and their life. So we have to believe, not because of what God said to me. You have to believe because of what God said to you. Because I'll say it again. Jesus said, the words he speaks to you, they are spirit, they are life. So no matter what happens, no matter what comes along, you just remember what God has already said and act on that, and everything will be just fine. And we're going to close right there. Everything will be just fine. Two more things I want to do. If there's anyone out there and you've never received Jesus Christ as Savior, this is your time. Because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the only reason Jesus came was so that we can have life, so we can be reconciled to God again. And we can be one with the Father. And you do that by just speaking with your mouth. So just say, Father God, I believe that you are God. And I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. And I turn to Jesus. And I say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you went to hell, stayed there 3 days, and on the third day, God raised you from the dead, and you're now seated at his right hand, and you're coming again soon. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my life. Come into my heart. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance, and I turn towards you, and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friends, if you made that prayer, please contact us by the information that's on the screen and tell us I made that confession with Pastor Greg. I'm now born again. Please send me some information so I'll know who I am in Christ. And we will send you some free information to just get you started, get you some additional information. And if you have any questions about anything that I shared tonight or any comments about it, use the same contact information and contact me. I will answer everyone. I may not do it the same day I get it, but I promise you I will respond to your contact if you contact us. Amen.